You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the League podcast brought to you by William Hill. Sam Norris here, joined by Jason Lewis to take a look ahead to the best of the action from League One and League Two. With just three games to go in the Football League, things begin to really hot up. First things first, good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Not bad at all, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Took a little two-week hiatus from the podcast at a very odd time of the season, but back now, and it's a very different picture to the one I left, with some midweek action this week just to curdle all the teams in action, and few teams still got games in hand, so, but most teams, as you say, free to go, and it's really the business end of the season now, so hopefully we can get some profit and see some exciting action this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We've still got a little bit to play for in both League One and League Two. I recorded the Championship podcast with Pete this morning, and it's very much done the Championship, but that's certainly not the case in League One. We've still got plenty of things to play for at both ends of the table.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd say Wigan possibly are pretty much there right at the top, but you've still got Burton and Walsall and possibly Mill in with a shout of creeping into that second automatic spot. The playoffs, you've still got Rochdale, Barnsley, Gillingham, Sheffield United, Scunthorpe. There's three teams there on 65 points queuing up for maybe one spot, possibly two if Bradford end the season badly. At the other end, it's probably one from three, you'd say, out of Fleetwood, Shrewsbury and Blackpool, or maybe in Chesterfield. So you'd think Doncaster are going to struggle with their act. Colchester and Crewe are already down, obviously. And then going down into League Two, it's been a crazy season in League Two. Again, Northampton, like Wigan, Northampton are definitely there. They've definitely taken their foot off the gas, really. All they're playing for now is to see if they can break the 100-point mark. But you look at that playoff picture now, it's... you've got two spots, four teams, you say two out of Accrington, Oxford, Plymouth and Bristol Rovers, all only separated by 2 points. And then Portsmouth, we're going to come on to them shortly in the League Two section of the podcast, but a barren week for them has possibly put even their playoff picture in doubt. They've got two massive games to come in the next 4 days, but at the wrong end of League Two, it's done and dusted pretty much, barring a crazy end of the season for York and Newport. It looks like York are going to join Dagenham in the conference next year, but I've never seen an end to a season like this in League Two. It's incredible with how tight it is with four teams going for these two spots, and can't wait for it to play out, really.
Yeah, certainly is. And the first game that we're going to come to in League One, we'll go back to League One now, features one of those teams that were two of those teams that we've just mentioned. This is Bradford versus Walsall. 13-10 here for Bradford, 21-10 the draw, and Walsall 2-1. Both sides with something to play for, which of course is great for us at this stage of the season. Bradford looking to consolidate a playoff spot, and Walsall, I've got serious eyes on automatic promotion, especially with the way Burton are faltering at the moment. They've got the superior goal difference, Walsall. They've got a game in hand. If they can't be motivated for this game, then they're in trouble, Jason.
Yeah, it's a tricky game on paper for them. But as you say, they've got to come into this one going for all 3 points. I know they've got that game in hand, but you want to get the points on the board. They do play that game in hand on Tuesday against Shrewsbury, but it's a tricky one that at home. They're never easy at this stage of the season, really, whoever you're playing. And this Bradford side are a really strong outfit. They've ended the season in fine form, really. Won all five of their last five home games at Valley Parade. Last three of those all 1-0, mind, against Swindon, Scunthorpe and Millwall. But they've only lost four home games all season. And really, despite their poor away record against the top teams, they're a real force at Valley Parade. And it's right up there with the best in the league. 41 points from 21 games for Bradford. And only Burton have the better defensive record than Bradford. And that's where they built their game around. And then you look at Walsall, it's still in their own hands, really, isn't it, with 3 weeks to the end of the season. And if you'd offered them that at the start of the season, I'm sure they'd have been thrilled to still be in the push for promotion. And games on paper, as I say, that look easy, but Fleetwood and Shrewsbury, they're challenging at this stage of the season, both of them fighting for their lives at the wrong end of the table. And after successive home games, they're probably looking to repeat the win they had over Gillingham in their last away game, which came after back-to-back away defeats at Sheffield United and Oldham. So It's a tricky one. How do they approach this? Do they try and nullify Bradford's strong home threat, or do they go out all guns blazing and expect plenty of goals in this one? And I think it's going to be a close game. I don't see a lot of goals. Bradford, as I say, very tight at the back. At home, their games average just 2 goals per game. 26 scored and only the 16 conceded in 21 games. And Walsall do have the best away record in the division by some way. Wigan the next nearest to their 42 points. But I think Bradford here could, by league position, cause a bit of an upset. But by looking how strong Bradford are at home, the 13th to the 10 price does look very good to me here. And it's a game that I could give value to both teams. But the way I just see it, I think Bradford are very strong at home. If you're looking for a goal scorer, Tom Bradshaw for Walsall, 15 league goals so far this season. And since joining Walsall in the summer of 2014, he averages a goal every other game. So 32 goals from 64 league starts. So that's a great bet, really. As I say, don't expect many goals. Under 2.5, 13 to 20 isn't a very attractive price. And there's real value on whoever you take here on the outright market. But I think Bradford here, coming off the back of 5 home wins in a row, and they've been beating some tricky sides in there. They've beaten Millwall. They've beaten Burton as well in there. So I think Bradford to win this game 13 to 10 would be the play for me.
Okay, Jason, sticking with Bradford then at 13 to 10 to win that game between third and fifth. We go to the second game in League One now, which is Colchester versus Burton. 9 to 4 here for Colchester, 9 to 4 the draw, and 11 to 10 about Burton. Burton have fallen away a little bit in terms of the title. They're winless in their last 6, but a trip to a Colchester side who shipped 92 goals this season might be just what the doctor ordered for the Brewers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if they had to pick a game on paper, for them really, the issue has been probably recently scoring the goals. If you look at it, they're the goalless draw at home to Oldham, lost 2-0 at Millwall, held 1-1 by Bury at home, lost to Scunthorpe away 1-0, 0-0 at home to Barnsley. Good result, I'd say, in midweek against Wigan. A draw against me on paper looks a great result because Wigan have been absolutely flying. But when you look at how long it's been for Burton without a win, and with just 3 games to go, and it's pretty much neck and neck between them and Walsall, and they could be below them next week if they fail to pick up a win here against Colchester. So all the impetus here on Burton is whether you think Colchester really are going to, with sort of the shackles off now, are going to go out there and play and express themselves. But I just can't see it, really. They've got such a poor defensive record now. Like 92 goals conceded from 43 games is a ridiculous record. And the question is, really, will they make it all the way to that 100 mark? It's definitely up for consideration. I think the home win they had over Doncaster Colchester is their only victory at home since late October. They've caused a few problems for the top sides. They had a 3-3 draw with Wigan and were winning that game going into stoppage time. They held Millwall to a goalless draw. But I just think Burton here, it's real pressure time for Burton. But I think they're just going to get a win when they need it, really. It's been their most barren run all season. They've only other time they've gone a period without a victory was back in October, where they went 3 games without a win. But for them to go 6 now without a win, it's difficult to see. And I think if it does stretch to 7 games without a win, I think they will miss out on the automatics and drop into the playoffs. And in the playoffs with no real form, which is never a good thing, really. And they've won just 1 of their last 5 away from home, losing 3. In fact, recorded just 4 away wins in all of 2016, I think, compared to double that over the first half of the season. But I still think with the best defence in the division, Colchester are going to really struggle to break Burton down. And it's just maybe going to take the odd goal from them to win this game. 6 of their 11 away wins this season have been 1-0. 9 of their 11 have been to nil. So I think the price there on Burton, 11 to 10, may seem quite short on the away side. You've got a couple of options here. I like the double result on Burton. So we're in half-time, full-time, 12 to 5. But also of how good their defensive record is and how poor Colchester is. Burton to win to nil here, 5-2, was a real standout price for me. Because as I say, when Burton win away, nearly 9 out of 11 times when they've won to nil. So I think that's the best option in this game. So Burton to win to nil, better than 2-1 there at 5-2, is a very attractive price on a side that really do need a result in this game.
Okay, Jason's pick then in Colchester versus Burton is a Burton win 2-0 at 5-2. The third and final game that we'll come to in League One this week is Gillingham versus Shrewsbury. The Gills here are 4-5, 23 to send the draw, and Shrewsbury 100-30. And this one, another classic case of two sides out of form, but both desperate for the 3 points for very different reasons.
Yeah, you look at it, if you're looking at their form card, there's not a lot of green in the short term, really, is there at all? But Gillingham not won since they beat Bury back at the end of March, and you look at Shrewsbury, they haven't won a game since they beat Coventry at the start of March. So For Gillingham, that equates to no league win in five games. Then the run of successive defeats with a draw against Rochdale midweek. And after being in contention for the automatics for so long, much like we're coming to Portsmouth, very similar story in both leagues, they're now fighting to make it into the playoffs, which would still be a far achievement for Gillingham. But when you look at some of the teams below them, but Barnsley are level on points, waiting for a slip-up. Rochdale, Sheffield United and Scunthorpe, all 4 points back, hoping for a sort of late collapse from this Gillingham side. And I think it's a tricky game for them on paper, this one. But I think they are one of the best teams in the league at home. Very strong. They've got still got the best home record, one of the best, sorry, in the division. 13 wins, 4 draws and just 4 losses. And really, if you take out their last two home games, that's 13 wins, 4 draws and just 2 losses. So unfortunately, they've put, again, a team that's just come hit bad form at the wrong time for them, really. But I think Shrewsbury here themselves, without a win in 7 games, 3 losses, 4 defeats, they have managed to score in their last 10 matches. But when you consider 7 of those have been at home, they might be struggling for confidence on the road. And it's 8 games without a clean sheet. So therefore, it's both teams to score in their last 8 matches. So that's definitely something to look at in this game if you want to avoid the outright market. But for me, Gillingham here really did stand out. It's a short price on them. And again, to say they're standing out when they haven't won, but they are a very strong home side. And if they can't have confidence going against the Shrewsbury side that haven't won a game in 7, I don't know where they're going to get confidence, really. Only Crewe have a worse home record than Shrewsbury. So they'll probably be pleased they're on away from home to an extent. But to be going to Gillingham, who really need 3 points in this game, both teams need the points here. So I'm expecting it to be an open contest. But I just think Gillingham, their league position will come through in over the 90 minutes. And for a goal scorer here, really like Bradley Dack. I really rate the player. Scored 13 league goals this season from midfield. Named earlier in the week League One Player of the Year. He does take penalties as well for them, which is always a bonus when you're looking for a goal scorer. He's here any time, 6-4. But I'd really be tempted to put him down here on a wing cast at 2-1 on Gillingham, because I really feel time is of the essence for Gillingham. When they've still, after this, they've got to go to Burton and host Mill win their last 2 games of the season. And you don't want to be having to get wins in both of those games to secure your playoff status. So I think a win here in this game for Gillingham will set them up nicely going into the last 2 weekends of the season. Meanwhile, Shrewsbury are going to have to go to Walsall probably on Tuesday and pull a rabbit out of the hat. And I just don't think they're going to be able to do that. So Gillingham to win here 4-5 is a good price. But I do really like that offer on Bradley Dack, who should be having a great week, really. He's named player of the year for the division, and hopefully he can round that off with a goal here.
Okay, Gillingham and Bradley Dack then, the choice of Jason in that game. We go to League 2 now. We've picked up 3 games to come from this division as well. And we start with Bristol Rovers versus Exeter. Bristol Rovers 10-11 here. 23-10 the draw. And Exeter are 14-5. Bristol Rovers, as we mentioned earlier, one of those teams with their eyes on an automatic spot. They're just a point behind Oxford, who currently occupy third. And whilst Exeter have still got half a chance of making the playoffs, they're 5 points outside at the moment. They don't have a great deal to play for. And I guess this is the kind of game that you want for Bristol Rovers towards the end of the season. A home tie against a side who aren't really fighting for too much.
Yeah, really. For Exeter, it all was looking so good for them with how they've ended. They were in fine form going into Tuesday's game at home to Mansfield. And to lose that game 3-2, they had a sneaky chance of making it into the playoffs. But that's drifted away now. And as you say, for Bristol Rovers, probably one of the few teams you could have in League 2 that have nothing to play for at all. And I think it's a perfect game for them, really. Midweek draw to Stevenage saw them drop to 5th in the table, but they're still just a point behind Oxford in 3rd, 2 behind Accrington in 2nd. So it's all very much to play for. And I do really like this Bristol Rovers side when I look at it. It's just one defeat in their last 11 matches, winning 8 of those. They've hit form at the right time. They've won their last 7 home games in a row and scoring 2 or more goals in 6 of these games. They've scored in their last 15 home matches, haven't lost at home since late November, so a run of 12 games. And for them, when you look at it, with games to come against relegated Dagenham, and then they have to, before that, they've got York, sorry, who by the time they play them probably could well be relegated unless they pick up a win this weekend and Newport lose. So I think on paper, Bristol should take maximum points from those games, but they're probably going to need a win in this one as well, I'd say. So I think Exeter, as you say, nothing to play for, will probably be a bit licking their wounds, really, after the defeat to Mansfield. It ended a run of 10 games without defeat for them. Playoffs now out of the picture. They have won their last 5 away games, 4 of them to nil, but Bristol Rovers, as I say, score a lot of goals. And before their current away run, Exeter had won just 6 of their first 16 away matches. So finding their journeys a bit better than they were, but I think their away record against the top teams is not favourable at all. They did pick up 2-1 wins against Plymouth and Portsmouth, but they're well beaten by Northampton, Oxford and Accrington, as well as losing to Wimbledon and Wickham. So Bristol Rovers should look at the form guide here and back themselves to win this game. And I think it's a fair price there, just around under even money there, 10 to 11. I think if you do want to think that Bristol Rovers can't get the job done, over 2.5 goals and both teams to score their 11 to 8 is a great option for you there, because Bristol Rovers are going to have to come out in this game and attack, and the impetus is going to be on them. If Exeter score first, you're going to expect Bristol Rovers to come back, and it's going to really open the game up completely. So expect plenty of goals in this one to be the play. But I think Bristol Rovers are going to pick up the win and put all the pressure on Accrington, Oxford above them. So I think Bristol Rovers to win, it's not a huge price, 10 to 11. But I think when you look how strong Bristol Rovers have been, won their last 7 home games in a row, to get nearly even money on them, it's too good a bet to turn down for me.
Okay, fair enough. Bristol Rovers, then the choice of Jason in that one at 10 to 11. The second game we'll come to in League 2 is Luton versus Newport. Even money here about Luton, 11 to 5 the draw and 13 to 5 for Newport. As we mentioned there, Jason, Newport only need a point to secure safety in League 2. Even if they don't pick up that point, York would need 9 points and an 11-goal swing. So they're pretty much safe, but best not to leave anything to chance. So they'll be keen to get that point on the board just to secure things.
Well, yeah, absolutely. When you think as well, they've only picked up 1 point in their last 7 games. Yeah. So they did. It was none in 6 until they played Oxford on Tuesday, which, if you were going through their fixtures, probably looked the least likely that they were going to get a result in. But they did hold Oxford to a 1-0 draw midweek. And for them, it's been scoring goals the issue. Just two goals scored in the six losses they had before that. Conceded 11 games, but somehow they still find themselves pretty much safe despite this recent record. Just 42 points to their name, and one more, as you say, being safety, but or York not pick up the points, which looks highly unlikely, to be fair. And it's interesting, I looked over the history of League 2, and over the last 6 seasons, you've needed at least 45 points to be safe, and on 2 occasions, you've needed at least 50 points. So Newport can probably count themselves lucky here that the bottom end of this division has been quite poor this season. And it does make me think at times whether they need to... I've always felt it's a bit unjust on the conference, such a hard division to get out of, to only have 2 teams going out of League 2, and it always seems like there's 3 or 4 teams in League 2. I don't want to say they deserve to go down, but they do seem to be a bit below the standard of the rest of the division. So I don't know if it's ever going to be on the Football League agenda. I highly doubt it, but it's saying that I've just always thought that maybe they do need to revert, because when you look at this division, you get 4 teams going out of the top end, but for only 2 to go out of the bottom end, there's a lot of teams that have just been sitting there. And I don't want to disrespect any teams. As a Bournemouth fan, I've been down there in the not too recent past. But I think, for me, really, it could be something that brings in. But back onto this game, and you've got a bit of a tangent there. I think Luton, really, despite having nothing to play for, have found themselves in great form, really. 3 wins in a row now, after 3 defeats in a row previously. Sitting in mid-table, but as I say, recent results show that they're looking to end the season on a high note. And it's been a frustrating campaign for them, because the amount of times they put these runs together. Back in September, they won 4 games in a row, then went 4 without a win. Then in February, they won 4 in a row, then won 1 of the next 5, losing 4 of them. So it's just been a struggle to get consistency. And when I do look at how they do win their games, if you are looking for a pro Luton market like I was, and I was a bit concerned that even money probably wasn't enough in this game for me, because Luton do throw in the odd poor performance. I think Luton's last 9 wins have all been by just a single goal margin, and 11 of their 17 wins this season have been by that margin as well. They need to improve their home record next season, mind you. The 4th worst home record in the division, and it's saying that needs to be addressed. Only 6 home wins and 10 defeats to date, but it's going to be one of their best opportunities to do so in this game when you look at it, really. And Newport lost each of their last 3 games by just a single goal, and 7 of their 11 away matches this season have been by that single goal margin. So I think that's the play to look in this one. If you're a stats person like I am, a lot of time with these bets, the tie handicap, Luton -1, coming at 11-4, it's a very big price. But Luton are just managing to get out of the jobs. They're not just doing it against poor teams. They picked up a 3-2 win at Oxford last weekend. But then they did the same thing against Dagenham. They're at the wrong end of the table, like Newport, 1-0 win. On Tuesday, beat Carlisle 2-1. So I think Luton just to nick this game. It could be a 1-0, it could be a 2-1. maybe even a 3-2, who knows? But I think they're just going to nick this one against Newport. But for Newport, it'll be 7 defeats in 8 games, but probably safety, barring York picking up a good result. So sort of a disappointing short term for Newport, but they'll be looking to progress next year and hope for better things. Luton win this weekend and probably hope for much the same, a better season next season. But tie handicap, Luton -1 there, 11-4 would be my pick in this one.
Okay, Luton to win by a goal then at 11-4, the choice for Jason in that one. The final game on this week's podcast then is one of the most intriguing across the weekend in League Two. This is Portsmouth versus Wickham, 5-6 here at Pompey, 12-5 the draw, and Wickham are 3-1. As you touched on earlier, it's been amazing really to think that with the season Portsmouth have had, that they're now looking over their shoulder and thinking we might not actually get the playoffs, and staring back at them in the rearview mirror are Wickham Wanderers, today's opponents, who are currently 4 points off themselves, and they've been hitting the crossbar recently, just dropping points and probably drawing too many games. But Pompey, the defeat to Plymouth, okay, I guess that was acceptable, but a 3-1 defeat to York, alarm bells are ringing a little bit, and does the 5-6 look a tad short here?
I think it is too short. I know on the face of it, it's only the first time Portsmouth have lost 2 games in a row all season, but I look at this Wickham side and wherever they've been going recently, it's been very close. They haven't actually lost. They've lost quite a few games since January, but they've only lost them all by a single goal. They lost 1-0 at home to Luton, 1-0 at Northampton, 1-0 at Cambridge, 1-0 at Newport, lost 2-1 to Wimbledon. And they've also had 4-1-0 draws in that time and a 0-0 draw. So as you say, maybe not being clinical enough, maybe just not getting the rub of the green they think they deserve, but they've still got 3 games here to give themselves every chance. And when you look at Portsmouth, in the space of four days, if they'd won the last two games, they'd be right in that hunt for the automatic promotion places still, when you think about it. You've got 6 points, I tell you, they sound 75, a point only behind Bristol Rovers with a game in hand. Now it looks very different indeed, and they do play their game in hand against, of all teams, Wimbledon on Tuesday, who sit just a place behind them. So 2 massive games in Portsmouth season for them to make it into the playoffs, which it'll be... I don't know what the reception will be like down at Fram Park if they don't make the playoffs, because they're expecting automatic promotion this season. They wouldn't be happy with the playoffs, but if they miss out on the playoffs, Paul Cox taking responsibility for this, but the amount of players he's brought in, he's had license to sign lots of players. They've got a lot of strength and depth there. It's just they've not been able to make it click. They've only lost 9 games all season, and only Oxford and Northampton have lost fewer games, but they're just too many draws in there. And when it comes here, they just don't seem to get the result when they need it under the pressure cooker in. So for me, Wickham outright was very big. It was too big to back, I'd say. But with Portsmouth's odd tendency to throw in a poor result at home and plenty of draws in there as well, Wickham draw no bet. Better than 2-1, 9-4 on Wickham, who've only lost 1 of their last 9 games. It looks very good to me that they've got a chance of at least getting your draw, you get your stake back. But it's worth the risk there, because the 9-4, double your money, it's a great option to have. And alternatively, Wickham to win either half, 17-10, also looks great. Portsmouth have had to come back in games quite often this season after a sluggish first half. So Wickham just have to score 1 goal in the first half and you've landed your 17-10 there. So I was trying to balance this game and give a pro Portsmouth market, because they're always so short at home, it's difficult to back them a lot of the time, as it was in this game. Michael Smith, anytime goal scorer, 9-5. But I'm back on the away side here. It's one of the few outside bets I've gone for on this week's podcast. But I think Portsmouth have just disappointed me this season, which is funny to say, they're still in the playoffs as it stands, but it's just been frustrating for them. And I think Wickham could come here and close the gap and make it just 2 points between themselves and Portsmouth, with Portsmouth going to Wimbledon in midweek and needing results. So Wickham draw no bet, 9-4 would be the pick for me in this game.
Wickham draw no bet then for Jason. Lovely stuff, Jason. What's the nap of the weekend then? The best bet in Leagues 1 and 2?
So it's very, very tricky games this weekend. Everyone needs points. And really, when you look at it, I think only one or two of the teams we covered in this week podcast come into this weekend off the back of a win in midweek. So it's very difficult to look at form at this stage of the season. It's just who you think is going to have the ball to get the result for me. And I go through the games. And I think the standout price for me is tricky. I'm probably going to say, oddly enough, going for a team that have no pressure on them. Luton, the tie handicap there at -1. 11-4 is a good price. Also, possibly that one. But what I'm going to go for instead, last minute change of mind, is I really do like Bradford to get the job done against Walsall there. So I think Bradford 13-10 to cause upset for Walsall this weekend.
Okay, Bradford then is Jason's nap. Alex has napped Northampton this week, Jason. Difficult to be too critical of that nap given the season they've had.
What price has he got Northampton?
They had 21-20 away at Yeovil.
Yeah, it's not a bad price. I'd be slightly concerned just because that was their first win in a long time over Crawley, but it's whether they've got the motivation to go and get the job done. They've certainly got the quality to beat that Yeovil side, and Yeovil themselves don't have anything to play for now. They're obviously safe. It's a good bet on paper, and it's a very good price still for the league leaders to get them better than even money. So I think we could be seeing that one come in.
Okay, thanks very much for that. But it's Bradford for you for the nap.
Yeah, Bradford at 13-10, I believe.
Okay, my thanks to Jason Lewis then for guiding us through Leagues 1 and League 2 this weekend. Best of luck to everyone out there having a bet, and best of luck to you as well, Jason.
Cheers. Thanks, Sam. Good luck, guys.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.